We're on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph already. We've been working through this sugya, trying to find justifications and halachas that are derived from all these different verses. Why are they necessary? The Torah seems to review and repeat over and over again that we don't take kofar, we don't take a redemption for someone who's chayv misa, and exempt him from Misa simply because he offers money to replace his Misa. One of the psukim that we had back on Daf Lamed Zayin on Beis was Kol Cherem Ashayecha Mina Adam Lo Yipada, which is a pasuk in Vayikra Chav Zayin, and the Gemara was trying to understand what exactly we derive from that pasuk. The Gemara suggested that we need it for a case of erechin, because that pasuk appears in the context of erechin. Let's say a person says erko alai, referring to a person who's about to be taken out and executed, and therefore the pasuk says kol cherem ashayecha mina adam lo yipada, which means that there's no need for pidyon here, meaning there's no need for paying the erechin here. But that doesn't work out according to Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, because he has a kind of a principle that's unique to erechin, which is a principle called domov ktsuvim. And based on that principle, he comes to the conclusion that even in the case of a person who says erko alai, referring to someone who's about to be killed, nevertheless he still pays the dom of ktsuv, whatever the Torah says according to his age and his gender, and that's what he has to pay. So we're stuck with the question, according to Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, what do we do with the pasuk kol cherem ashayecha min adam lo yipada? What is that pasuk coming to teach us? So here the Gemara raises a possibility based on a braisa of Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that we find an exception to the rule. There is one context in which the Torah indicates that although someone is chayv misa, nevertheless he can redeem himself by paying mamon, and that's the case of a shara muad, which is under the supervision of the bailim, of the owner of the shor, and it goes out and kills someone, and the Torah says v'gam ba'ol of yumos, which means that up in Shemayim, b'day Shemayim, he deserves to die. But the Torah goes ahead and says in kofar yushas olav, which means that the owner of the shor, muad, that killed the person, is allowed to pay a pidyon and spare himself from misa b'day Shemayim. Now, once we have that breakthrough, again in the case of Bez Din Shalmala, then we might apply that even to Misa Bidei Adam. And therefore, we need the pasuk that we were talking about, Cherem Ashayecha Mina Adam, and the words Mina Adam refer to Misa Bidei Adam, Lo Yipada. Lo Yipada teaches me that there's no pidyon in that case. The only question is, can we divide up Misas Beis Din into two categories? There's Misa Chamura, Misa Kala, and that's based on Nidna Shigasna Lakapora, Lo Nidna Shigasna Lakapora. And we have a few cases of capital punishments where it's Lo Nidna Shigasna Lakapora. We gave two examples yesterday, a person who makes a Chamura in his father, or a person who kidnaps someone and then sells him as an Eved. In those two cases, a capital crime, and there's no shigugasa l'kapara. And if we need the extra word kol cherem lo yipada, kol cherem means every chiyuv misa, even a chiyuv misa will lo nitna shigugasa l'kapara. Then the Gemara asks the question, but what about the pasuk lo tikhu kofel l'nefesh rotzeach, which explicitly addresses this and excludes this possibility of paying a kofar in order to save someone, spare him from Misa? So once again, why do we need this pasuk called Cherem? And the Gemara suggests that maybe we can make a difference between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yirid. That's on the top of Daf Lamed Ches. Because in the case of Derech Aliyah, if somebody kills someone in Derech Aliyah, there is no Shigugas on the Kapar. Normally, if you kill someone the Shigaga, you go to the Amikla. But that's only if it's Derech Yirida, which is derived from a pasuk that says Vayapel Allah Vayamos. But if it was Derech Aliyah, then there is no kapara through the ir miklat, and therefore we might say that when the Torah says don't take a redemption, a pigeon to spare someone from death, that only applies in the case of a ritzicha derech aliyah, which is considered more chomer, again according to the technical regulations or laws that apply to the Torah, because lo nitna shigas l'kapara, that's the case of derech aliyah. But maybe in the case of derech Yerida, when the Torah was more lenient and allowed you to achieve some sort of an atonement by going to the Amiklat, if you killed someone, Derech Yerida Bishogeg. So we might think that even in the case of Mezid, maybe we can accept Mamon, and therefore we need the pasuk called Cherem Ashayechram Mina Adam Lo Yipadim Os Yumas. Now the last thing we did yesterday was Rava's objection, because Rava quotes the Brisa of Tanan Bechizkia, and within the context of Tanan Bechizkia, we have an absolute equation between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida. And it means that just like in Makah Behema, the Torah says you're always Chayav in all situations, so too in Makah Adam, according to this derivation of Chizkia, there's no difference in all cases, he's going to be Potur. And the reason for that is because of Chayim Misa Shogeg, and we apply Kimleim Deramine even in the case of a Shogeg. And in this context, Chizkia points out that there's no difference between Derech Yerida and Derech Aliyah. So at this point, we're really stuck with the original question. We don't understand what we derive from the pasuk Kol Cherem. You can't say that Kol Cherem is coming to teach you that there's no pigeon even in the case of Derech Yerida, because we're not differentiating now between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida in the context of Tanan Bechizkiah. So that being the case, we have to go back to the drawing board and ask ourselves, once we have the possible Sikhu Kofel and Efesh Otseach, the Torah says you cannot accept a redemption money for a Rotseach Mishchai Misa. So what do we do with the pasuk of Kol Cherem? Because now Kol Cherem becomes superfluous. Again, we're going according to Hanani ben Akavya. According to the Chachamim of Hanani ben Akavya, we need this pasuk to teach me that there's no Chiv Erechin when you say Erech alive. But according to Rav Hanani ben Akavya, says that even in the case of a Mechuyiv Misa, we still apply the principle of Dom of Ketsuvim. So we're left with the question, why do we need the pasuk Kol Cherem Ashayech from Amin Adam? And El, what you can answer that's telling you that there's no pigeon in the case of Derech Yerida, I don't need a pasuk for that, because there's no difference between Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida. So when the Torah says Lo Sikhu Kofel and Efesh Otseach, that includes both Derech Aliyah and Derech Yerida. Hence, we're not sure exactly why the Torah had to say Kol Cherem. And that's what we're up to the Gemara for today. El Amar Rami Bar Choma. So let's see if we all have the place. We're on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, and we're approximately, I would say, just guessing, about 12 lines down from the top. And you'll see the first word in the line is El, but that doesn't really tell you anything. The next word in the line is Lefotro. El Lefotro. So El Amar. No, I'm sorry. Just 1 second.
You're right.
I meant to say you have to move from that line deep into the line, if you follow me. Ela Amar Rami Bar Choma. Ela Amar Rami Bar Choma Itzrich. In other words, I need the pasuk of Lo Sikhu Kofel Lenefesh Otseach to teach me that in the case of Mechuyiv Misa, we don't accept Tashlumin. And not only that, I need the pasuk of lo siku kofel lenefesh rotzeach, even for kimle v'derabim, meaning the possible yason anoshia neish, which is the source for kimle rabim name, is insufficient. I still need the possible lo siku kofel lenefesh rotzeach. And once I need that possible siku kofel lenefesh rotzeach for kimle v'derabim name in the scenario that we're about to analyze, then I automatically need the pasuk of kol cheir v'shayecha min ha'adam lo yifteh for the case of derech aliyah and derech yiridah, right? Because I don't know that in various cases of chiyuv misa, like for example in a misa kala, which is nitna shegugas l'kapar, I don't know that you can't take a redemption money. We know that really from the pasuk of sikhu kofel l'nefesh otzeach, but now in Rami Bar Chama's frame of reference, we're going to use the pasuk of sikhu kofel nefesh otzeach for an entirely different halacha, and that's the halacha of kibbeh v'derabim. So we're going to see now that if we only had the pasuk lo yason anoshi anesh, we would have limited the principle of kibbeh v'derabim, and in order to broaden the scope and lafuke to exclude that logic that kibbeh v'derabim only applies in case X, we need the possible of sikhu kofel l'nefesh otzeach to expand the application of kibbeh v'derabim. Salka Gaitachabdina, the Gemara says, Hani, when do we say kibbeh v'derabim? That's only hecha desima es eino. Desima es eino. Veharogo ba. Now I'm going to interpret that the word ba here means bimaka achas, meaning he took one smack, one blow, he dealt one blow to the victim, and with that blow he took out his victim's eye, and the victim died as a result. Now I'm not sure if he died as a result of internal injuries, or maybe because of the pain, or because of the loss of blood, but whatever it is, we're talking about a case where clearly the two chiyuvim emanate, and I'll explain, emanate from one action. What are the two chiyuvim? One chiyuv is an eye for an eye, which means that you have to pay for the eye. That's called chovil b'chavera. And the other chiyuv is that he has to die, he's condemned to death because of the murder. So since there was an absolute overlap in one maisa, to generate both a chiyuv mamon and a chiyuv misa, therefore, we apply the principle of kibbeh v'derabim. But what about the following scenario? Aval hecha desima es eino v'harago b'dover acher. So in other words, he basically dealt his victim two blows. He hit him over the eye, and he hit him in his chest or somewhere else in his body, and the hitting over his eye caused the blindness of the eye, but the hitting, or well, let's say he put a knife into his body, that elsewhere in the body, that blow causes death. So now we have an overlap of two maisim, two actions which were implemented simultaneously, each one generating unto itself, independent of the other action, a chiyuv, whether it's a chiyuv mamon in the case of simas eino, whether it's a chiyuv misa in the case of harogo, ema, logically, I might think, nishkol mamon amine, each blow should generate its own chiyuv. So for example, he should be chayiv mamon for paying for the eye, and that's independent of the chiyuv misa for the ritzicha, for the fact that he killed him, because he killed him with a different blow. So we call this two chiyuvim, shnei chiyuvim shonim, that happen to overlap in terms of simultaneity. Now again, you have to know how to fit this into the Gemara that we learned back on Daf Lamed Beis about Zorek Chetz Mitchilas Arba and Sof Arba Vekar Shirayim Shel Chavera. But there you might argue that even though there are two Machayvim, so to speak, there's one Tashlumi Nezek to the owner of the Shirayim, and another is the Chiv Misa for Hotzov, Lechaz Hotzov violating the Shabbos. But nevertheless, it was all one action of shooting out the Chetz. But what happens if he does two actions, each of which generates its own independent chiyuv, simultaneously? Would that also come under kim lebin rabbi? And the Gemara is assuming now, according to Rabbi Bar Chama, that we need a pasuk for that. Then, and yes, there will be kim lebin rabbi, even in the case of two akos and two chiyuvim shonim that took place simultaneously. But how do we know such a thing? You know, it's logically from Ason Yeh, we don't know such a thing, because in the case of Ason Yeh, with one Hakah, he kills the woman and he knocks out the Vlados. But here we have two separate Hakahs. And for that I need the Pasuk of Sikhu Kofra Lenefesh Otseach, which is an extra Pasuk. And since it's superfluous, it allows me through a Ribui to expand the application of Kim Lev Ramine, which if we only had a son would be more limited, would only apply to one akar, and apply it even in the case of two akars. And that's because this possible Sikhu Kofal and Efeshot Tzech ends with two words, most you must. And what it means is don't take money if most you must, if he's going to be Chai of Misa. And don't take money meaning don't penalize him or demand compensation for the eye that was taken out, because most of you must, because he's going to be put to death, and it doesn't matter whether or not there was one akah or even two akahs. And the Gemara is not happy. So Rava turns to Rami Bar Chama and he says the following: Ha nami mi'idach tana d'vei chizkiya nafka. There's another tana d'vei chizkiya, another brisa, another derivation from the base Medrash of Chizkiya, and that's going to teach us that even if there were two akos at the same, simultaneously, even so we apply the principle of Kim Leib and Rabine. Once again, it's going to be shver. We're going to be asking why do we need Lo Sikhu Kofal and Efesh Otseya? The Tanit Be Chizkiya. We're talking about the parsha of Chovel Bechavero, and the Torah says Ayin Tachas Ayin. Okay, now in this case of Ayin Tachas Ayin, the question is do we interpret this pasuk literally? And we take an eye for an eye. And if not, it means he has to pay for the eye. And how do we know that? Okay, so that's going to be a discussion here as we go along. But the drush of Chizkiya is the following: Ayin Tachas Ayin, velo Ayin v'nefesh Tachas Ayin. In other words, the Torah says we can impose only one punishment here for this hakar. And what we're going to say is that he, in this case, will get the punishment of what? So you might say, well, it should be literally an eye for an eye. Well, the answer is that in event that the person died, then it would be ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. In other words, the Torah says that you get one punishment for one hakah, right? So he dealt him one blow. Now, if he was chovel b'eino, then he would have to pay tashlum. Again, we're going to see exactly why. I mean, it does say an eye for an eye. We're not going to cause his death, says Rashi, by taking out his eye. So we can't take an eye for an eye. Literally, that might cause his death. So now, in the case where he took out someone's eye, he has to pay for the eye. Okay, fine. Now, if he was chovel b'eino shel chaver and he also killed him, so as a result of this blow in which he took out his eye, he also the victim of this assault died as a result. So the Torah says that there's not going to be ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. In other words, the Torah is saying that he's going to get only one punishment and not two punishments. Now, if that be the case, then we already have a source for kim lev d'ramune in this pasuk of ayin tachas ayin, which we darshan v'lo ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. We don't need, therefore, the pasuk ason lo yason anoshi anesh. So what are we going to do with the pasuk of Lo Yason Anoshi Anesh? And we're going to answer that addresses the question, or the case, I should say, where there were two akos. So now we have two psukim, one pasuk for one single hakor, and that's ayin tachas ayin, to teach you that he's only put to death, and he doesn't pay for the ayin. And now we have another case, and we need another pasuk, where there were two hakos, and they were simultaneously generating two different chiyuvim. And here the pasuk says, v'lo yason anosh yanesh. So just to summarize, we made a valiant effort to justify the need for the pasuk v'lo sikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach mos yumas, which means that we're not going to impose a chiyuv mamon when mos yumas, when he's going to be killed, when we're going to take his life. And we thought that maybe that's coming to include a case of two akos. But the truth is, I don't need that pasuk for two akos. As Rabbi Bar Chama tried to push the envelope. Because Rabbi says, I know it from ayin tachas ayin. So we're left with the original question that hasn't been answered yet. Namely, what do we do with the pasuk of sikhu kofer l'nefesh otzeach? Why is that necessary? So I just want to read to you something that I saw here in the Masifta. And he says the following. Masika Gemara Derech Hadosha. The Gemara now is going to embark upon a new approach to the possible Sikhu Kofer Lenefesh Rotzeach. It's no longer discussing the case of Kimle B'Ravine and Tuakos and all that. But rather, it's coming to tell you that if someone is chayiv misa, then he's going to be potter from knas. We only know from Kimlev D'Rabmine, the case of Dmei Vlados, or the Simas Eno, where he pays mamon, meaning he compensates the loss for the victim. But we don't know about a case of a knas. And that's what the pasuk wants to tell you. Sikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach mos yumas means that even in a case of a knas, there's not going to be a tashlume knas, and that's not something that we can derive from ason yeh anosh yeh anosh. Now again, keep in mind that this whole sugi is going according to Reb Chananya ben Akavya, who says that you cannot derive from kol cherem to exclude the case of erech and of erech olai in the yotzei lihoreh. According to Tanakama, he needs the pasuk kol cherem. Therefore, he's going to say the lo sikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach means that you cannot redeem yourself from a misa by paying money. But we're going now according to Chananya ben Akavya, and therefore we don't need the pasuk kol cherem to exclude the case of erechim, because in fact in that case double ketsubni pays. And now we're saying that we don't need the pasuk kol cherem for Kimlev D'Rabamine, because we've already expanded the scope of Kimlev D'Rabamine based on the pasuk ayin tachas ayin. So now what we have to do is we have to sort of jump into the inner mechanics here of Kimlev D'Rabamine and see if we can come up with a case where we need this pasuk of kol cherem, and that's going to be Ravashi. Elomar Ravashi Itzav. Why do I need the pasuk? Again, we're going to need the pasuk kol cherem, despite the pasuk lo sikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach, because I need the pasuk lo sikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach to teach me something else, namely that if he's chayav misa, he's part from tashlumi. If we only had the pasuk lo yason anosh yanesh, I would say that pasuk only applies to mama, meaning compensation. But if you have a knas, isalke daitachamina, I would have said hoil v'chidush shechid shetar v'knas. This you may remember is Rabba's Svara back on Daf Lamed, where was Lamed Beis, that the Torah says that you're going to pay a knas even though it's above and beyond the compensation for the loss. And therefore I might think that in such a case, which is not Tashlume Momen classic, but rather it's knas, the Torah is going to tell me that you have to pay the knas. That's the Chiddush of knas. And in fact, that's the Shita Rabba. With regard to onus of mefater, is afagav the miktal mishalim, even though we're going to put him to death, he has to pay the knas. The pasuk of lo yason cannot help me because that's addressing a case of tashlume mamon in dvei vlados. But now we need an extra pasuk, and this is going to be the pasuk of sikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach to teach me kamash balon that since this pasuk is superfluous, it's extra. We don't need it for mamon, meaning in the case of compensation. We're going to use it instead for knas. That's called a meino inyan. And now the Gemara is going to ask, what do we do according to Rava? Because Rava says that there is no kibbutz Rava named knas. But right now, the Gemara is not ready for that. So when it says, lo siku kofer lenefesh rotzeach, this pasuk is now telling me that most humans, that he'll die, and we won't charge him any money, even in the case of a knas. So the Gemara right away objects, ula rava diomar, chidushu shechidshe Torah biknas. Right, this was Rava that we had back on Daf, maybe it was Lamed Daled, whatever it was, you'll have to look it up. I think it was Lamed Daled, that in the case of knas, we don't apply kibbutz the rabbi minei, and afagav the mikvah mishal, he has to pay the knas, even though he's going to be put to death. And according to this sheet of Rava, we're stuck again because we don't need the pasuk lo siklu kofel nefesh otzeach to teach me that there's Kimlein Rabbi even in the case of Knas. That cannot be, because there is no Kimlein Rabbi in the case of Knas. He will in fact pay. And therefore, we're going to use those Sikhu Kofal and Efesh Otzeach to teach me that you don't collect redemption. There's no such thing as redemption money for someone who's Chayav Misa. So then we're stuck with the Pasuk called Cherem Asher Yecham Min Adam Lo Yifteh. What do we need that Pasuk for? Awesome. Mar now offers a combination of two Shitas. We can take Rava and we can combine it with the Tanakhama of Rav Hananya ben Akavya. Some look at Tanakhama of the Hananya. Because the Pasuk called Chayim HaShayich Ben Adam Lo Yipad is not going to teach me that if a person says Erki Olai, pointing to someone who's being taken out for his death, then you don't pay, there's no Chiyuv Erech Lo Yipad. And that's according to the Tanakhama of Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya. Now, if we combine Rava with that Tanakhama, then we're in the clear. Because then we need the pasuk called Cherem to teach me that you don't pay erchin in such a case. Is Mevela, that pasuk is no longer superfluous. And we're not going to say that the pasuk of Sikhu Kofer is coming to teach me that this Kimlei Miramine, even in the case of Knas, because Rava holds that in the case of Knas there is no Kimlei Miramine, but rather that pasuk is telling me that there's no redemption for a person who's Mechuyiv Misa. Because at the end of the pasuk it says, most you must. You'll ask me, we have a similar pasuk with regard to a rotzeach shogeg, right? It says, L'sikhu kofer lonos el ir miklato. So then we have the trichusos, maybe we'll go over that again, why we need both mezid and shogeg. Let's just quickly, or if you don't mind, I'll do it for myself. You guys remember it, I don't. So why do we need for both shogeg and mezid? So this is on Daf Lamed Zayin on the base, right? Yeah, all the way on top. So the Gemara says that if we only had the pasuk, don't take kofer for a mezid case, well, we'll say, all right, the Torah is very machmir on a mezid case. But in the case of shogeg, he's not so liable, so therefore we'll allow for a payment, for a redemption. If I only had the case of shogeg, I would say that in the case of mezid, we were putting someone to death, why put two people to death? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
All right.
Chamira.
Okay, I'm happy that we finished that sugi, because that sugi requires a chart. You really have to make yourself a table here with all the psukim and all the derivations with all the shitas. But now we start a new mishnah. This is the third mishnah in the parak, and this mishnah addresses the question of a basula. Is she included in the parash of knas? If she was once married, now how can you have a basula who was once married and you raise the possibility that she's still a basula and she gets knas? That's going to be erusin, which means the following, that the marriage was never consummated. Let's say, for example, the husband died or he gave her a get, and we'll see which of those two cases is more appropriate. Let's just, for the time being, say that the husband gave her a get. So since they never consummated the marriage, she's still a basula. But when we read the pasuk, And we saw the conditions of the pasuk were, number one, that she's a nara, number two, that she's a besua, but we have a third phrase in the pasuk. The Torah says in Parashat Ki Tetzei, Ki Yimotze, Ki Yimtza Ish Nara Besula, Asher Lo Orasa. Now, if we take that phrase, Asher Lo Orasa, literally, it means she never had Erisin, and then Utfasa V'Shachav Ima, and he has to pay the Knas. That's the parasha of Onis. We have a similar parasha in Mishpatim of Mefater. So since in both parashios we have this concept, this condition of Asher Lo Orasa, there's going to be at least one sheet amongst the Tanoim that if a woman was this Arsa, and then she was this Garisha, meaning before they consummated the marriage she was already a Grusha, then in such a case, she doesn't collect Knas. Why? Because she already had Erusin. Another time, it's going to say no. That even in the case of this Arsa and this Garisha, if he was Ma'anisha, he has to pay the Knas. Then what do we do with the Pasuk Ashalo Rasa? That's what we're going to have to deal with. Now, our discussion about this case of a woman who had Erusin, but she never had Nisuin, what happened between, it must be that somehow that Ishus was broken up, because if the Ishus wasn't broken up, let's say the Baal is still alive and well, and he didn't divorce her, and he didn't die, so in such a case, she's an Arusa, which has, I mean, she has the status of an Ishus Ish, and then the Ma'anes is going to be Chayav Mises Bezdin. Now everybody agrees, this is not an issue, that in the case of a Chayav Mises Bezdin, there is no knas. That's Kimlev the Rabbi. And that we had in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Vav, our last Mishnah, in the case of Baal Bita. Right, there was Machlokas in the first Mishnah about, let's say, Chayvei Krisus. We have Rav Nechunya ben Akona. Do we apply Kimlev the Rabbi? Does she collect knas? Baal Achoso, and so forth. But Baal Bita was never a debate. So therefore, in our Sugya, which we're about to learn, of this Arsa, we're going to have to add another condition, that it was not only this Arsa, but it was also this Garisha, because otherwise she's an Eishes Ish, and Kimlev the Rabbi.
Right.
So it wouldn't be any debate amongst the Tanoim whether she collects Knas or she doesn't collect Knas. Does Erisin remove her from Knas? There would be no Knas because she's an Eishes Ish, and there's a Chiyuv Misa. So therefore, let's read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Narisha is Arsa, Vin is Garisha, which means before the Chuppah, she received a get from her husband, hence she's no longer an Eishes Ish. But, and she's a Besula, right? Presumably we have no reason to question that she's a Besula. And now the question is, does the onus of Mefata pay Knas? Rabbi Yossi HaKlili Omer Ein Lo Knas. The Torah says, Vehi, right? Na'ar Besula Sherlo Orasa. Rabbi Akiva Omer Yesh Lo Knas. Now this is interesting because we have another issue here, a whole other issue, which only applies in the framework of Rabbi Akiva, and that is who actually collects the knas. Now she's still a nara, so you would apply the principle of binara binureh beisavia. She's still the rishus of our father. But the answer is that Rabbi Akiva is about to present the shita that once there was erusin, she's not excluded from knas, but the father is excluded from his rights to collect the knas. Why? Because with erusin, she leaves the rishus of her father. Again, other tanoim are going to disagree, and up until the suit, she's still in the rishus of the father. But Rabbi Kiva Omer, yesh lo knas, uknaso liatzma. She pockets the knas herself. It doesn't go to her father.
This is different than truma. Much different. Actually, even if she was married and had relations but no kids.
Well, when you say Truma, she's a Bas Yisrael that married a Kohen?
No, I'm sorry. Bas Kohen.
A Bas Kohen.
Married a Yisrael.
And she
doesn't need Truma, but he dies. There's no kids.
Right. If I'm not mistaken, the reason she doesn't need Truma is only Durabbanon.
No, that's the Pasuk, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I thought, of course, she might feed her Truma to the members of her household. But she's a Bas Kohen. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm confused. In a Bas Yisrael, we're talking about an Arusa, and that's only the Rabbanan. Really, she should be eating Truma because she's Kinyan Kasra.
Yeah.
And the only reason she doesn't eat Truma is because we're facial feed it to
Yeah. Or
Shemi Yitzhak Bas Simpa, whatever it might be. Right. But you're talking about the opposite case. We're talking about a Bas Kohen. At what point does she forfeit her rights to eat Truma.
As soon as she gets married, if I remember the pasuk, now I haven't.
With Erisin itself.
Maybe with Erisin itself. I don't remember if the pasuk goes in that detail. But if her husband dies, or Yisrael husband dies, and there's no kids, she can go back
and eat Truma. Correct, she eats Truma again. That's right.
So it's different.
So that might not be Rabbi Akiva. I don't know. You have to know what Rabbi Akiva would say in that case.
Okay.
I'm not prepared for that now. But let's just think again. According to Rabbi Akiva, the pasuk says, "V'nasan ha'ish ha'shochevi mola avi ha'nara chamishim kesef." And therefore, the pasuk, if we take it literally, says that the knas goes to the father of this nara, and that's a reflection and application of the general rule b'nara beis avia. Comes along Rabbi Akiva and says, this case of Nisarsa and Niskarsha is the exception to the rule. She picks up the knas for herself, and the father is out of the picture. The Gemara is going to try to analyze why is that so. But first the Gemara wants to analyze Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that there's no knas in the case of Nisarsa and Niskarsha. My time with Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Omar Kra, because the pasuk says, Asher lo orasa. Which means, according to Rabbi Yossi, that she was never Nisarsa. Once she was Nisarsa, she's out of the parish of Knas. Oh, Rasa Engla Knas. Now Rabbi Akiva has to face the music. What's he going to do with the Pascha Shalom Rasa? Because he claims that there's still Knas, despite the fact that she had Erisin. But something changed. And we understand why the Torah had to add the condition of a Shalom Rasa, because the next part of the pasuk says, let's read the whole pasuk inside, Ki imtza ish nara besula shalom rasa tfason shafat ima, and the Torah says, V'nasan la'viya nara chamishim kesef. So it means that this pasuk v'shalom rasa is addressing the knas that's being paid to the father. Says Rabbi Akiva, Enoch inami. Once there's erisin, the knas is no longer going to be paid to the father. It doesn't mean that there's no knas. It means that the father is knocked off from knas. He doesn't have rights to demand the knas. Asher lo rasa le'avir. When does the father get knas? That's because asher lo rasa, she never had erisin. Ha rasa, the knas doesn't go to her father, but li'atzma, goes to herself.
Now, no one translates rasa as currently betrothed.
Right, because that would be a Baal Eish HaSish, and that's Kim Levin Rami, and that's an Eish HaSish in the Ski of Misa. That would be like Baal B.
Yeah, gotcha.
So we must assume that following the Arasa, there was something happened. Either he died, or her husband died, or he gave her a get. So the Gemara now asks a question, raises an objection on Rabbi Akiva. Ela Me'atav, you're telling me that this mute in the Pasuk is only with regard to who gets the knas. Meaning, if it was lo rasa, then there was no erisin, then the father gets the knas. If it was nisarsa, then she collects the knas. If that be the case, why don't we read the word nara in the same way that you read the phrase asher lo rasa? And when the Torah says she has to be a nara, to the exclusion of a bogeris who's past 12 and a half, Hachinami, why don't we say the following? That when the Torah adds Nara, it's only for the rest of the pasuk that says V'nasan La'via, etc., right? That the father collects the knas. But if she's a Bogeres, meaning she left her just the father, then she herself collects the knas. Why is it that according to you, Rabbi Akiva, when it comes to the condition of Lo Oras, so you're going to tell me that's only as far as the father's ability is supposed to collect the knas? But she could collect the knas even though there was erisin. So why don't you apply the same principle, the same distinction in the case of Nara, that when the Torah says Nara, it means this is a limitation, a precondition for the father's rights to collect the knas. But it doesn't mean that she's a bogeret, she's excluded from knas. It means that he's excluded from his rights to knas, but she will collect knas. Is hachinami liatzma. And this would completely undermine everything we've been saying from the beginning of our limud of this parak. Namely, that once a girl is a bogeret, she no longer connects knas. I mean, it was a whole machlokas shira meichachom about a katana, but nobody put bogeret on the radar screen. There's no knas in the case of bogeret. So now the Gemara is asking that when it says besuah, well, That's also preconditioned. Why don't we again apply the same structure, the same hermeneutic principle of Rabbi Akiva, and say, when does the Torah, within what context does the Torah exclude a ba'ula, and it requires the absolute requirement, the condition has to be that she's absolute. That's only as far as the father's rights to collect the knas. But as far as her rights to connect the knas, which means that if the man was ma'anis a ba'ula, then instead of paying the knas to the father, he pays the knas to the isha self. And we didn't find anywhere that a bogeris could collect knas or a ba'ula could collect knas. So this was a hardcore, you know, tenets of the faith here in respect. And the precondition for knas has got to be a nara and has to be a basul. And then now we can sort of play around with this, because there was another condition that the Torah said, Shalom Arosa. Really, keep is only applying that limitation for the father's rights to collect the knas. So why don't we apply all the limitations and all the conditions that are stipulated in the Torah? We'll say that's only as far as the father's ability to connect the knas. Elo, what are you going to have to say? Ligamre. Now, Rabbi Kiva is going to have to admit that legamre means that when the Torah says she's got to be a nara, she's got to be a basul, that's to exclude a bogeris, excluding a ba'ula in all cases, meaning to completely undermine the knas. So why don't we apply a legamre the same logic to asher lo arasa, that the Torah is saying legamre, that the Torah means to say that if she's already had an irisin, then we're going to mafkia from knas. Amar lecha Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva answers, hi, when the pasuk says asher lo arasa, it's not a superfluous phrase. And we shouldn't fall into the net of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That Rabbi Yossi Aglili derives from Asher Lo Arasa that if there was Eirusin, we'd take her out of the parish of Knas. But I need the Pasuk Asher Lo Arasa to teach me something else. And since I need to teach me something else, I'm not going to stipulate as a condition, a precondition for Knas, that it would be Asher Lo Arasa, and if Eirusin, she's excluded from Knas.
Wait, Rabbi Kivzin claiming that Rabbi Yossi is based on a drash and not a simple pashat of the words.
Right, right. Or alternatively, you could say the following fact, that if I can convince you that I need a special halacha of Shalom Rasa in a slightly different context, then I'm not going to use it as a stipulation or a limitation in the parish of Knas. So if we can come up with some derivation from the Pascha Shalom Rasa, which would justify what the Torah is trying to convey to me, then I need that pasuk, and I'm no longer going to set up that pasuk the way Rabbi Yossi Aglili would set it up as a precondition in Knas. So lechidasani. Now this brisa begins with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, so don't get thrown for a loop here, because we're interested in Rabbi Akiva. That's going to come a little bit later. So the reish of the brisa says asher lo arasa, which means that this is a precondition in Knas, prior to the exclusion of Narish and Assassin's Gash, She'en Lo Knas. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Oh. Now, Rabbi Akiva says that Yesh Lo Knas U'Knaso Le'avia, meaning if she was Nis'arsa V'Nis Garsha, then the Knas should go to our father. Now, what does it mean the Knas should go to our father? I mean, we have Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah who says the Knas goes to her. Well, now we have another version of Rabbi Akiva. So the two versions of Rabbi Akiva, we'll call it Rabbi Akiva Roman numeral number one, that's reflected in the Mishnah that we've been studying for the last 15 minutes. And now we have Roman numeral number two, which is from Rabbi Akiva the Brisa. And he claims that after Erisin, she goes back, with the get, she goes back to the Rishus of the father, and the father collects the Knas. And that kind of might reflect what you said before about Truma. In other words, that when she gets the get from her Yisrael, from her husband who's Yisrael, she goes back to Beis Avia, hence she could eat Truma. Here also, she goes with the get, she goes back to Beis Avia, and the father now regains his rights to collect the Knas. And I'm going to say, since Rabbi Kiva, that this is logical, min asvara ulamim, hadin no sin. In other words, it makes sense that the father should have rights to collect her knas. Hoil via zakoi bekesef kidusha, via zakoi bekesef knosa. Ma, I'm going to read a few lines here, then we'll go back to the top. Ma kesef kidusha for pishin sarasim is gashla via, meaning if this woman gets married twice, the first time She had Erusin, she didn't have Nisuin, and she was divorced from Erusin. Now she gets married a second time. So Rabbi Akiva claims, we'll see how he knows this, that the father is the one who's Makadish's daughter, even though he already did that on the first round, but now he has a second opportunity, and probably a third and a fourth if necessary. I mean, how many different husbands does she have during the 6 month period of Nairus? But anyway, so the father can marry her off, and he collects the kesef. It means, that she's still in the rishus of the father. Again, we don't know exactly how Rabbi Akiva knows this. But given that premise, then we're going to apply that same premise to the case of Knas. And we're going to say that Hoyel, let's go back to the beginning of Rabbi Akiva, Hoyel v'yavio asakoy b'kesef kidusheha. In other words, if he marries her off a second time because the first marriage was aborted, but were terminated with a get, and there was no nisuin, he gets the kesef kedushin for the second marriage. Why? Because Erusin doesn't take her out of the rishus of the father, and therefore v'yavia zakoy b'kesef knasa. So too, we can apply the same principle to knas in the case of ones, and the father is going to receive the knas, even though she was this arsa. Okay, so this is Rabbi Akiva the Braisa. Oh, but now Rabbi Akiva came to a logical conclusion that, based on universal principles of Binurei Beis Avia, namely that even after Erusin she's still Beis Avia, that applying that to Knas, she should receive the Knas. Okay, all that is fine and dandy, and we can be, you know, seduced and compelled by the logic of Rabbi Akiva. But what about the Pasuk? In Cain, you know, Rabbi Yossi Agnili has the upper hand over here, because Shteitin Pasuk, Matam L'Hashalom Rasa. So what's this Pasuk teaching me? So again, in the context of Rabbi Akiva number one, that's Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, Hashalom Rasa is telling me that she collects the Knas. But in the context of Rabbi Akiva number two in the Braisa, she doesn't collect the Knas because she goes back into her father's shoes. So what's Hashalom Rasa? It's not telling me a Tanai for Knas, and it's not telling me who gets the money, because in any event the father's going to get the money. So the answer is Mufna Lahakish Lo V'Ladun Himenu Gzereshov. This pasuk is extra, and if it's extra we can derive a Gzereshov from it. So B'linen, tomorrow we'll talk about some of the rules that apply to Hegish and Zereshov, but just to get the, because I see it's getting late, Nemar Kan, it says Hashalom Rasa. And that's in the parasha of Onis. But Nemar Lahalon, in the parasha of Mefuta, of Mefatish, it says there Hashalom Rasa. So we have the same three words in both parashios. That's going to teach us Gzereshov, Makan Chamishim Kesef, Aflahalon Chamishim Kesef. In other words, in the parasha of Ones, the Torah specifies exactly how much money he pays her. It says, V'nasan ha'isha shokei b'mol avi anara chamishim kosef. But in the case of Mufata, in the parasha of Mishpatim, the Torah leaves out the chamishim kosef. So how do we know what the penalty is in the case of Mufata? And the answer is, we have Gzereshov, Hashalom Rasa, Hashalom Rasa. Now we have to go the other direction. Umala halon, in the case of Mafata, the Torah tells you not chamishim kosef, but it says shkolim. So we now know that the word kesef is shekel. The pasuk says kesef yishkol kemor abesulos. Afkan sell to an ones, when the Torah just says in a vague sense chamishim kesef, it doesn't specify shkolim. It's shkolim. So now it comes out to find that Onis and Mafata have an interchange through an interchange of ideas, like an open university, right? As far as the laws of Knas are concerned.
We have that because there are shav at the beginning of the parak, I think.
Yeah, could be. This is going to be derived from Hashalom Orasa. It's Mimela. I don't use the Alshelo Rasa the way Rabbi Yosef Aglili taught me to exclude an Esaris and Esgarsha from Knas. Now again, it seems that logically there are two ways Rabbi Akiva could have gone. He could have accepted Rabbi Yosef Aglili's Alshelo Rasa, or he could have made it Mufna by rejecting Rabbi Yosef Aglili and then hence generate the Gzeres Shava. Why does he prefer his approach, the Gzeres Shava approach, to Rabbi Yosef Aglili's approach? And kind of today, what you said before, it would seem that, that Rabbi Yosef Glee is a simple pshat in the pasuk. You know, Zeir Shal is so much more complicated. So that's going to be the sugya for tomorrow of my chazus. Okay, then?
Wait, is that... this is our...
Oh, okay.
Actually, that Zeir Shal was a tula, but it came to the same conclusion.
Meaning what? It doesn't say...
No, Batul is used to say that we have the same kanas in both cases.
Oh, I see. Oh, so you might want to know why do you need both the Xer Shava and the...
No, I'm just...
That's a valid question.